Thinking tonight of the verse that was used this morning, I'd like to start with it this evening, Romans 12 and 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, because it's your reasonable service. And it was brought out this morning, that's not going to be just a one-time thing. I can look back to the day that I gave all to the Lord. You know, there are some that teach that you grow into sanctification. Well, no, you will remember the day that you did this right here. You will remember I gave my all to the Lord. Well, what you'll also find out is, and I've always remembered the message that Brother Michael Williamson preached there in Monarch. When you did that, the day you did that, you really didn't know what all was out ahead in the future, that this would mean. He said it was kind of like marriage. On the day you got married, you said, I'm willing till death do us part. And it didn't have a clue what all things would come into that, would happen to that. But yet you were willing. And as it came to that point, you worked with it because your heart was set on it. The same way with this one. Yes, there's a one-time sanctification where I gave it all to the Lord. But tomorrow there may be something else come that I am going to have to say, well, I didn't realize this would be a part of it, but I give that to you also. And it made me think about Abraham. When he made his sacrifice to the Lord, he wasn't able to just put it out there and then walk away. Remember it said throughout the day, he stayed there and he guarded his sacrifice. It was, yes, I'm willing to give this, but I'm going to stay right here and I'm going to keep this sacrifice offered to the Lord. And it got me to thinking, a while ago we sang this song, number 149, and I like this song. It sounded like a real song of determination. I ought to be able to make it if I had this as my determination. I came defiled and guilty. To Jesus the mighty to save, he took my sins and sorrows and beauty for ashes gave. Boy, it looks like I'd make it all the way to eternity on that one. I came to Jesus repenting, confessing my every sin. My heart's door swung wide open and glorious peace flowed in. And now some time passes by, and he's still able to say, and since that joyful moment of glorious peace to me, my soul has ceased its pining, my heart has been light and free. Some days have passed by from when I made that sacrifice and said, I'm going to live for the Lord no matter what. And then he looks out into the future. Roll on, ye changing seasons or turbulent seas of sin. I found a blessed shelter and glorious peace within. Peace, peace, glorious peace, like tranquil waters flow, streaming down over my heart, made white as the driven snow. Seemed like if I had that testimony, I'd take that clear to eternity and stand before the Lord, being able to sing that song. Who wrote that song? D.O. Teasley. Yes. This tells us that it's not enough for me one day to present my body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. It's my reasonable service. I'm going to have to guard it today, tomorrow, every day until I step out before the Lord. I'm going to have to guard that consecration. And there's going to be times where I'm going to have to come back and say, Lord, I didn't realize it would take this too. But I'm determined to make heaven my home. I've been thinking this week about a word. We don't hear this word very often. Resolute. Resolute. Now we'll hear it more often this time of the year. A New Year's resolution. Something that I plan to do, I want to do. But I've been thinking about this word resolute. Here's some of the definitions. Single-minded, steadfast, determined, firm, unwavering, persistent, intent upon. This is what I'm going to need in my life, not just on January 1st when I realize I got some changes I need to make, but just throughout the year, I need this kind of determination. Single-minded, steadfast, persistent, firm, intent upon. And it makes it a little easier to lay everything out here, but I'd like for this to be a Bible study to where each of you also be thinking, are there verses in the Bible? Are there examples in the Bible of resolute? And while you're thinking about it, I'd like to start with one. In Matthew 15, because today we're resolute. I'm determined I want to live for the Lord. Is there anything that would stop you? If this happened, I'm through. If this one thing does it, then I stop. Or can I say, there's nothing that'll stop me? I am intent upon making heaven my home. In Matthew 15 and 22, I'd like to look at this story a little bit. Because we're in a time where people have their feelings on their shoulder. If you said the wrong, you know, we hear even to the point of football teams that have this name. If it's about the Indians, boy, we can't stand to have that name anymore. Don't even be talking about that because it's putting a stigma or something. You know, we didn't used to be that way as a group of people. But now we can be real sensitive about, now don't you call me that. But look at this lady. Behold a woman of Canaan, 22nd verse of Matthew 15. I look at this one and it matches my word tonight, resolute. Woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, cried unto him saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. Now, you know, that's the very first place that she could say, wait a minute, I have come, I'm telling him I have a need, and he's not even paying any attention to me. And even to the point, it says, he answered her not a word. So his disciples, they picked up on that, because many times before they'd seen him help somebody out, and they see that he's not helping her, so they besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. So now she's got not only Jesus not speaking to her, but the disciples are saying, you know what, she's bothering us. Tell her to get on out of here, to go on. But he answered and said, now you would think this next verse he would say to them, look, this woman has a need and I'm going to help her. But instead he has something to say to the woman. I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And where did she come from? Out of a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast. So he's letting her know, you don't fit in the class that I'm here to help right now. I've only come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, she could have said, okay, I'm out then. I'm gone. Then came she and worshiped him, saying, yes. Lord, help me. I understand what you're telling me. I understand that I'm not even one of those that you're here to help. But you're the only one that's going to help me. Lord, help me. And then he goes on to say, he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. You ever been called a name? You know, back in school, they used to talk about sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, words can hurt. Children are sometimes not sensitive to words that they say to another child, and it can hurt. Well, this one surely could have hurt. It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Now, he just said he wasn't sent to help her out. He was only sent to the house of Israel. And now he's saying it's not meet to take the children's bread, this house of Israel, and cast it to a dog. Now, you know, she's got some choices that she's having to make. I've got this need over here, but I tell you what, I do have my rights also. You're not going to say that to me. I'm gone. But see, this lady, she had a need that was bigger than all of how she knew. Right here is where my help is. And she said, truth, Lord, yes. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. A test was given to her to see how much is she willing to press, how persistent, how intent upon, resolute. This is my direction that I'm going. Resolute implies a firm determination to adhere to a cause or purpose. And she did it. She had a purpose. My daughter is in need of help. And I know there is help from the Lord for her. And I'm going to just keep on coming to him until he helps her. Can you think of another example in the Bible that shows us about resolute?
My heart is fixed.
My heart is fixed. Trusting the Lord. It's not just, it won't do us any good to stop right there. My heart is fixed. You know, there's a lot of people got a heart fixed today. ISIS has got a heart fixed in a direction. They're resolute. I'm going to have to make sure my resolute is going in the right direction. My heart is fixed, and here's where it is, trusting in the Lord. What about Luke in the 18th chapter? And the first verse, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. I've got a problem here, and you're the one that can help me. I know you have the ability to help me. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this woman, this widow, troubleth me, I'll avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Now, the Lord's given that parable to them. And you would think, well, what he's going to tell us next is, okay, this is a parable, but I'm not applying it to you, to me. Don't wear me out by keeping on coming back again. No, he says, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? So almost saying the same thing. I tell you what, you call on me just like that. When you have a need, you just keep on coming back. Don't stop with the need that you have. I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Though I fear not God, nor regard man, because this widow troubleth me, I'll avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And he's telling us, now take that lesson and apply it into your life spiritually. When you have a need, you just keep on coming to the place where you can get help. Okay, does anyone have another example? Okay, that's resolute there.
Yes.
Okay.
The words that they said, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up.
And it says that he heated the furnace 7 times hotter. That means it was already heating when all this started. Now, why would he have ever had a thought that there would be anybody that wouldn't bow down? You know, he'd already had some dealings with these men. In fact, you know, in the past, I always kind of thought they just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. No, these men were in high position already. You look back, I believe it's at the end of the 2nd chapter, where you remember after he interprets the dream? Yeah, in the 49th verse of the 2nd chapter. This is before they come to the burning fiery furnace. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king. So now they're up in responsible positions with the king. So he knows about them. And here he's going to prove something. He's got the burning fiery furnace. And they don't know which way it's going to go. They say he can do it this way, But I know he's going to do it this way. We are going to be delivered out of your hands no matter which way it goes. That is resolute. Well, while we're in Daniel, the other Bible story that we hear all through our childhood life of Daniel. When, you know what, it'll be really good for us in this day and time if people looking on us would not be able to find anything that they could fault except the way we live for the Lord. that's living a life right there. They're monitoring what he's doing as he works for the king. There's nothing that he's doing wrong. He's not embezzling. He's not doing anything that they would be able to catch him on. The only thing they can find is this guy is going to serve his Lord. To the point that here's how we can see we're going to get him. For 30 days, let no man pray to any other god except the king. Now, you know, the king should have thought about that one when he heard it. But he agrees for it to happen. And Daniel hears it. Daniel knows what the purpose of it all was. And he could have just left his shutters closed and bypassed this problem.
Yes.
But instead, he still opened them. This is resolute, steadfast, firm, unwavering, persistent intent upon. Opened those up and prayed just the same amount, not more. He didn't just open up and say, I'm going to pray 24 hours a day now to show you. Nope, he did the same as he had been doing before. And then he's called in, and the king would love to change his mind, but he can't. And the Lord delivers him also. Resolute.
I like this verse here in Daniel. It says, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?
Okay, so he is down in the lion's den when the king the next morning is calling over to the side, are you alive down there? Was God able to deliver you? And you know, what was Daniel's first words back? He could have said, what were you thinking anyhow? Yes, I'm alive. What do you mean doing this to me and give him a guilt complex? What was the first words that he used?
He said, O king, live forever.
Yeah. O king, live forever. Respect for the king's position even after I've been. Of course, after he's been down there all night with lions and they haven't eaten him, I'd have a respect. God's in control of all this anyhow. But just the respect that he gave back to the king after having done that. Another one that I'm looking at is in Numbers. When children of Israel are at the border, it's time to go into the Canaan land. Numbers 13 and 30. This is after the men have all come back. They've given their reports. 27th verse. They told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. But look at that 30th verse. Caleb, he had gone there with them. Caleb stilled the people before Moses. And he said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. One man, resolute. If the Lord will be there to help us, everything's going to be fine. It says, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than we. And it goes on down into the 14th chapter. Because now they've been weeping, crying, how's this thing going to work out? And Joshua and Caleb, in the 6th verse of the 14th chapter, Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb which were with them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Did the people respond and say, yes, you know what, we forgot about the things that the Lord's done for us. He'll help us. No, you look in the 10th verse. All the congregation bade stone them with stones. Children of Israel, would you put them under the resolute category? Would you say, now these people right here, they were resolute. They were resolute for a day, and then something would happen, and tomorrow it would change. Let's look at that. Remember in Exodus, the 15th chapter? What was that chapter? How did that chapter start? It was the song of deliverance. They had just come through the Red Sea. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. This is where the 15th chapter starts. And you would think after that deliverance there will be nothing that will cause us a problem. How soon did they have a problem? We didn't even get out of the 15th chapter before there's trouble. And it says in the 15 and 23, they came to Marah and could not drink of the waters, for they were bitter. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Just a few days before that, they had walked through on dry land from the Red Sea. And you know, we read that, we heard that as children, and it'd be real easy to say, I don't understand why they would do that. And then I can look at myself and say, how soon I forget the big things that the Lord does for me, and I soon go into an area that I'm in need, and it just doesn't seem like I'm going to be able to get out of that. And in just a little bit of time, in the 16th chapter, the third verse, now they've got something else that they need. Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. They needed water. Now they're needing something to eat. And that's when God's told them, I'll give you provision. But I was thinking of a verse as we're talking about resolute, something that would have really been good for the children of Israel. There's a verse in James 1 and 8. It says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. One day I'm on top, the next day I'm down underneath it all. And I was thinking with that verse, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I was thinking with that a verse in song number 127. It says, must I be doubting, full of fear, and gloom obscure my pathway here? Be up and down in life's career? No, the blood of Jesus cleanseth. And the fourth verse, must I suppose I'm right today? Tomorrow think I've gone astray? Let demons hold me in dismay? No, the blood of Jesus cleanseth. These, looking back at them, how that one day they had the victory and they were singing songs. The next day they're in trouble and they have forgotten what the Lord has done for them. I would like this year to be resolute, to have a firm determination. This is the way I'll go, whether things are going well or whether they're not going well. I thought about Aaron. Have you ever traced Aaron's life in the Bible? Who was Aaron, anyhow, that met up with Moses? It said he was Moses' elder brother. Yes. And you just have to kind of wonder, well, if Moses was in the bulrushes when he was found, how did Aaron come through all this? But Aaron was in his 80s himself when he met up with Moses. Remember how that happened? God said, okay, you say you can't speak, I'll send Aaron with you and he'll do the speaking. And what I'm interested in with that is that means Aaron is front and center in all of the plagues that God does to the Egyptians. He was the one that spoke it and it happened. So he was so close to God's workings. It was almost like Moses was behind the scene a little bit. Aaron was the one that spoke it and it happened. And he was there when the Red Sea opened up. And he saw some things that the other children of Israel were not able to see. I looked at something in Exodus in the 19th chapter. And in the 24th verse, you know, right about that time when God's fixing to give his commandments and he's calling for Moses, I want you to come up into the mount. Well, in this one, he calls for Aaron to do it too. In the 19th and the 24th, and says, "And the Lord said unto him, Away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee. Bring Aaron with you, but don't let the priest and the people break through, lest he break through upon them." So Aaron had a special place, he and Moses, coming into God's presence. This is in the 19th chapter. Then in the 24th chapter of Exodus, talking about resolute, 24th chapter, again, he has a special time, 24 and 9. "Then went up Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were the body of heaven in his clearness." Something special that others were not able to see, Aaron was able to see it. This is the 24th chapter. And just days, maybe, when God says, "Okay, now, Aaron, you stay down there and take care of the people." This is from Moses to Aaron. Aaron's to stay down there and take care of the people. And Moses is going up to be in contact with God. This is where he's going to get the Ten Commandments. You know, everywhere else, I see Aaron doing very well. What happened here? I look at that song that we sang, number 149. So many places I see D.O. Teasley doing wonderful. What happened? I look at this one and I say, how could Aaron ever have done this? I don't remember. I don't know that there was any other place, and maybe somebody can correct me, any other place through Aaron's life that there was trouble. But this one. "When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves unto Aaron, and they said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him." If Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had been there, what would they have said to this request? Would they have, they can stand before the king with their life on the line, and they say, "We're willing to die for it." Aaron, what's he going to say? You know, he could have said, "Wait a minute, I just saw God a few days ago. There is no way I'll die right here before I do any agreement about God's." But Aaron says to them, "Break off the golden earrings." This puts me back to thinking about that first verse that we use. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day." Aaron said to them, "Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." Aaron's the one that said, "Do it." Yes. All the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears. They brought them to Aaron. And he received them at their hand. He took them. He fashioned it with a graving tool. After he had made it, a molten calf. And they said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast day, feast to the Lord." And so you remember when Moses came down, and the Lord is very upset. Yes. And Aaron has this answer for Moses. Yes. Exodus in the 22nd verse of that same chapter. Well, 21st verse, "Moses said to Aaron, What did this people to thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, Let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief." Now, wait a minute, what did that have to do? You know, taking responsibility for my actions is going to be real important. You remember what happened when God came to Adam and he asked, "What about this?" Adam says, "It was that woman that you gave me." Yes. This one, instead of Aaron saying, "I have sinned. I saw the Lord just a few days ago and I have sinned. I'm sorry for it." Instead, it's like, "Well, it's those people." Who else did that? King Saul. When he was sent to destroy the Amalekites, and he comes back, and he's making justification for it. Those people that were with me did it when he was responsible. Aaron says, "Let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they're set on mischief. For they said unto me, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, we wot not what has become of him. And I said to them, whosoever hath any gold, let him break it off. So they gave it to me. I cast it in the fire, and they came out this calf." Now, he left out a few details right there. "I just happened to throw it in, and the calf walked out of that fire. Here came a calf out of it." Leaving out some details there. And I look at these stories that we hear when we're children, and we just, that's an interesting story. And I realize, you know what that is? That's telling me about human nature. That's telling me about what my nature can be, is to justify myself, to leave out some of the details that will make me look in a different light. So that was for Aaron. And then it goes on. I really don't understand how Aaron escaped the punishment. You know, he was the one that built the calf, made the calf. He was the one that set the day for them to worship it. And 3,000 people die that day for punishment because of that. And Aaron is still the priest. I don't know how he got by that. But I'm looking at resolute for us today. I'm going to have to be honest with myself and with God. When something happens, just man fall 7 times, but he'll rise up again. He'll make up his mind. I tell you what, I'm determined to make heaven my home. Should the Lord come to me and show me you didn't do this right, I'll acknowledge that was me, and I'll take care of it, and I'll keep on going. Resolute. I was thinking about Paul and his life. You know, he was resolute before he ever met the light on the way to Damascus. He was determined, I'm going to go destroy these people that are talking about Jesus. Intent, all those words that we used, intent, unwavering, determined, firm, he was that. And then when the Lord got a hold to him on the road to Damascus, it all turned. And I was thinking about his position. You remember where God said, he's a chosen vessel unto me. And he said, I'm going to show him what great things he's going to suffer in his lifetime. Did Paul have some things happen to him that could have turned him around? Like the woman that said, I need your help, and the Lord calls her a dog, but she keeps on coming. What could have turned Paul around? Look at some of the things that happened in his life. 2 Corinthians 11. He just went ahead and put together a list of them for us so we wouldn't have to work through the scriptures to find what things happened to him. 2 Corinthians 11 and 23. So looking at these, which one of these would have stopped you? Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, perils of robbers, perils in my own countrymen, perils by the heathen, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren. You know, I was reading, you read about Paul's life, and it said he would go to one city and he would be preaching there, and here would come some Jews and stir up the people, and maybe they would stone him there. Then he would go on to another city and the people would be accepting him there. And then here comes those people, they find out what city he's in, and they come stir the people up again. And it seemed like that was his life, was just constantly somebody was coming after him. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, those things that happened to him. But did he say, I tell you what, if one more thing gets added to this list, I'm through with it? No. I'd like to go to a verse in Acts 20 and 22. Because today we have some things that come against us. And will we be able to have this same testimony? Acts 20 and the 22nd verse. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And another place he tells us in Romans, the 8th chapter. Okay? Start with that one. Romans 8 and the 35th verse.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, and all these things and more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Okay, Romans 8 and 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then he starts making this list. Would this be able to stop you? What about this or this? And you know, these we can look back, well, that was in his time. But you know what? We could fill some things in for ourselves, just the daily things that happen to us in life. Would this problem be able to stop you? And then he says, nay, in all these we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. And then he followed that all the way to the end. 2 Timothy 4, he's finished it up now. And did he die just a peaceful death, an old man? No, I think he was martyred. About to give his life right here. But this is how he ends it up.
Yeah.
I am now, 4th chapter and the 6th verse of 2 Timothy. I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And he didn't just stop there. He says, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So with this, resolute is another word, resolve.
Yes.
And to decide firmly on a course of action. And there's a song, I don't know if it's in the Blue Book, but there's a song, I Am Resolved.
Yes.
I'd like to read these verses. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. To heed what he saith, to do what he willeth, he is the living way. I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. I am resolved, made up my mind by the Lord's help. I'm going to make heaven my home. I'll do whatever I need to do. I'll humble myself when I need to humble myself. I'll do whatever because I got to make it. As we were in California and looking at what all Brother Paul Phillips is going through right now, you know, we can look back at Paul in the Bible. And we say, boy, he had a lot of things going on right then. But I think about where Sister Sarita is so low right now, so sick. And he's got that load, and he's got his job, and he's got the congregation, all those things. And yet he came into service one night, and he said, this is the song I want to sing. And he called this number. I'd like for us to sing it in closing. This song has a resolve to it. Resolute to it. It says, I'll never go back.
Yes.
It says, I once was in bondage in Egypt's dark night, but Jesus has brought me out into the light. He banished my sins and he's made my heart right. I'll never go back. I'll never go back. I'll never go back to the bondage of sin. I'll never go back to the place I was in. A crown of rejoicing I'm striving to win. I'll never go back again. And this determination is good. Let's remember that first verse tonight, Romans 12 and 1.
Yes.
I beseech you, therefore, give a living sacrifice. And it's okay for me to sing, I'll never go back today, but tomorrow I'll need to make some adjustments in my life.
Yes.
to guarantee me never going back. I desire your prayers.